John chapter 6. The message today is the sufficiency of God's grace for all that desire to become children of God and for them that do become children of God. The sufficiency of God's grace. I will read a few scriptures all relating to this grace, this sufficiency. And the first one I want to read is a contrast. John chapter 6, look at verse 4. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Jesus, therefore, lifting up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming unto him, saith unto Philip, whence are we to buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said unto him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. Verse 7 again. Philip answered and said, $20 worth of bread is not sufficient for them. And in Matthew 14, we read the next words of Jesus. Jesus said, bring them unto me. What? The 5 loaves and the 2 fishes that a little boy had there. That's all they had, plus $20 to buy more. The Lord Jesus said, you bring them to me. Now, turn to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? And then in chapter 3, starting at verse 4, and such confidence have we through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, that our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. And one more scripture in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul, speaking about the man who had been caught up to the third heaven and saw wonderful revelations, he says in verse 7, and by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelation, that I should not be exalted overmuch, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted overmuch. Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord Christ, that it might depart from me. And he hath said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Notice again when Paul cried to the Lord in prayer, the Lord gave him this response, my grace is sufficient for thee. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful that you are not a God who made us and left us here to ourselves. You are not a God who made us and while knowing what is happening to us on earth, you are not concerned about what is happening, but you are a God who made us, who loved us, who is concerned with the things that happen in our lives on earth. And you have done the greatest that any God could do for man. Thou hast provided thy Son, the Lord Jesus, for salvation and also for life on earth, that we might have an abundant life on earth and an eternal life hereafter to enter into the enjoyment of it. We are so glad for this, our God. We would not know it unless thou didst reveal it to us in thy word. And that is why we have read from thy word. Because thou dost know the things that perplex us, and we have no answers. Thou dost know the things that are too weighty for us, and we are not able to support them. We are thankful that others in the past have had similar experiences, and you have spoken to them and directed them. And we have all of these examples in the past from those that have known you and your Son, our Savior. So, our Father, that we might profit from these things today, we desire to understand the teaching of the Word of God. So by thy Spirit empower lips and prepare hearts. And our Father, thou hast promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And therefore, we do that, knowing that thou shalt fulfill thy promise. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The sufficiency of God's grace for all who desire to become children of God, and for them who do become children of God. You say, well, what is the difference? Point is that some think that perhaps God's grace is needed to become his child, but then having become a child of grace, you do not need that grace anymore. That is what the Galatians thought. Paul said this, having begun in the Spirit, are you now perfected in the flesh? And they did not realize it, but that was precisely what they were saying by the lives they were living. And so the message today is to show you the sufficiency of God's grace if you want to become a child of God, and the sufficiency of God's grace after you become a child of God. I mention this because so often excuses are given for men and women not becoming children of God. And most of them are empty excuses, like the ones you find in Luke chapter 14, when there was an invitation given by the king, and those who did not want to come had abundance of excuses. One had bought a farm, one had married a wife. They all had excuses that they gave, but they were worthless excuses, and God dealt with them as such. But once in a while, you find a genuine, concerned sinner who has a legitimate reason for not wanting to become a child of God, and it is this. I'm afraid that if I did become a child of God, I would disgrace this God whose child I have become. Now that is a worthy excuse. But understand, that excuse is used of Satan as much as empty excuses to prevent you becoming a child of God. Because if Satan can fill your mind with empty excuses, I have a farm, I have yoke of oxen, I have a wife, all of these things are pressing upon me, I cannot obey your invitation, then we throw those aside. But if you have another man who comes and says, I would become a Christian, but I know I cannot live for God, I would dishonor God. His name would be blasphemed because of the life that I would live. I know what I am. Then that is the reason that I'm not going to become a child of God. Satan delights in that as well, because whatever reason he can put into your mind for not trusting Christ as Savior is good enough if you never trust Christ as Savior. And that is why I am giving you the message today. The sufficiency of God's grace for all who desire to become children of God. Because your thinking is this. I know the life I've lived up until now. And I know that I can live no better life if I become a child of God. That is your thinking without Christ. Let me ask you, suppose you had 5,000 people to feed, and I said, here's the $20 bill, go and get enough food for them all. Would it be sufficient? You would say, of course not. So let me ask you this, Why do you think I read to you from John 6 and then told you what Christ said in Matthew 14? To show you that the insufficiency of man disappears when that insufficiency is turned over to Christ. And this is what the Lord Jesus said when Philip acknowledged we have only $20 that we could buy bread with. And then, well, there was a lad here that had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Understand that Jesus said this. Question Philip to prove him, to put him to the test, because he himself knew what he was going to do. And when they confessed the hopelessness of the situation, there was not sufficiency, the Lord Jesus said, bring them hither to me. And you know the end of the story. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes, not even spending the $20 they had. How many of the 5,000, not including women and children, were fed? You say, why, all of them. Did they get enough to eat? You say, they had enough to eat, and they also had bread and fishes left over. Then, the situation being without Christ is hopeless. There is insufficiency. But once that insufficiency is turned over to Christ, bring them hither to me, then it is made sufficient. And that is what God wants us to know. So what is your excuse now if I tell you that the life you conceive of living after you trust Christ as Savior, you conceive of living it without the Lord Jesus Christ? What if I told you that you do not have to think that way anymore? But just as you had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you say, I have to feed 5,000 people with them, I can never do it. I'm not going to go and attempt to do it. If you knew that if you turned those 5 loaves and 2 fishes over to the Lord Jesus, he could feed the 5,000, would you do it then? You say, yes. But what if I told you that your excuse is perfectly legitimate? And if you ask me, can I live for the Lord Jesus? Can I bring honor and glory to him? I tell you, no, you cannot do it. But if you ask, by God's grace, can I be made sufficient to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? I say, yes. And the Lord Jesus verifies what you say, and then he gives you additional hope. Listen, on one occasion, when it would have been expected that a rich young ruler would have trusted Christ as Savior, and the Lord Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches, that trust in riches, enter the kingdom of God? And the disciple said, then who can be saved? And the Lord Jesus said, with men, it is impossible. You say impossible? That's exactly what the Savior said. Impossible to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Impossible for a rich man to be saved? Impossible for any man to be saved? But Christ says that with God, all things are possible. And so I look at you and the power you have. Impossible. I look at you expecting to live a Christian life without Christ. Insufficiency. But then I do not look at you without Christ. But I look at you and consider God's grace as well. And then the Lord Jesus says, impossible is turned to possible. For with God, all things are possible. Knowing that, if a man genuinely wants to be saved, and then he receives this additional life, that after he trusts Christ as Savior, he's not left on his own to try to live from that day forth the way he tried to live before, but he is empowered by God. The Spirit of God indwells him, empowers him to live a new life for the glory of Christ. Then all of his excuses are gone. Paul said this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What can you do without Christ? Nothing. The Lord Jesus tells you these things. He wants you clearly to understand these words. Nothing. Impossible. Inability. Insufficiency. He wants you to know all of those words. They describe you. Insufficient. Impossible. Powerless. Without strength.
He wants you to understand all of those in the first place. And having seen those, and having given up your efforts to be worthy, to earn salvation, then the Lord Jesus tells you other words. From impossible, he says, possible. And from insufficiency, he says, sufficiency. All of these words will change. When you cease thinking of yourself apart from God, and you think in relation to the promise of God. And when the Lord Jesus had the loaves and fishes brought to him, the insufficiency became sufficient. Now, some say it's too good to be true. Some will still contradict God and say, I do not believe such a thing is possible. There is no such sufficiency that a man can live to the glory of God in this world. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says again. I told you last week, the sufficiency of evidence and opportunity for a sinner to be saved. But sinners said, there is not enough evidence. There is not enough opportunity. But God himself said, there is, and you are without excuse. Remember that. They said it last week, and now they're saying it again this week. They say, there is not enough grace. There is not enough sufficiency. But the Lord Jesus says, there is. Listen to him in 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul has placed upon him this thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And he cries unto the Savior again and again and again, remove this thorn from me. And the Lord Jesus gave him this answer. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, again, man says, it's not. And the Lord Jesus said, it is. So, the time must come in your life when you will stop thinking of yourself without the power of God and think of yourself empowered by God. Then, you will make a different decision. If you think of life as you've known it without Christ, then there will be no incentive if you continue to think of your life as a Christian continuing without Christ. I do not blame you. I would give up Christianity because life without Christ, but Christ says this. He says, my grace is sufficient. Men say, your evidence is not enough. Opportunities are not enough. Your grace is not sufficient. But the Lord Jesus said, my grace is sufficient. And some found it so. Paul did. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Here is a man who said, it is sufficient. I can do all things, but please note, not I can do all things, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, it is no longer Paul doing it, unaided, but he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, again, he says this. He speaks of the work that Christ laid upon his disciples. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to perfect every Christian, to conform them to the image of Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, I took to heart the commands of the Savior to evangelize the world and to conform Christians to his image. And he says this. He said, I labored more abundantly than all the others. And then he adds this, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You see the different thinking? We are thinking, I can't do it. And I answer, that's right, you can't. I can't live it. And I answer, that's right, you can. But why are you telling me to become a Christian? Because once you become a Christian, then all the power of God is put at your disposal to live for the glory of Christ, to overcome temptations, to experience a life of joy and power that you've never had before. Without Christ, you can do nothing. But as it says in Romans chapter 6, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under law, but you are under grace. Grace, what does it do? It is a power. It is a favor
It is a blessing God bestows upon you that enables you to do things that you never thought were possible. And after you do them, you laugh because you know of your own weakness and say, well, I did not think it was possible. And then you discover that it is not possible apart from the enabling of God. But God has enabled you. And so you say, I can do all things through Christ. Now I understand. I believe that the Lord Jesus, who said, my grace is sufficient for thee, I have proved that his grace is sufficient for me. All right. Then let me tell you what I mean by sufficiency. The definition, and I will simply break it down in a way that you can understand. There are two different Greek words, but the thought is this. You have a distance to go, and you arrive at your destination. Then you have sufficiency. You have an amount to pay, and you have sufficiency to pay. You have an enemy that's coming against you, but you have ample strength to overcome that enemy. You say, then there is a distance to go, and I have sufficiency to arrive at that destination. I have obligations to fulfill, but I have ample substance to fulfill those obligations. I have tasks to perform, and God promises me that all of these tasks shall be sufficiently supplied so they can be performed. That's why I had that portion in Luke 14 read to you. Here is a man who's planning to build a tower. And he knows it's going to cost $100,000 to build that tower. And he examines his resources and he has a little less than $3,000. He's not going to try to build that tower. Why? He says, because I can't do it. So he starts out, another man that is a fool, he starts out building that tower and he puts his $3,000 into it, and here, just a little bit of the foundation, a little bit at the bottom, and people come by and say, what are you doing there? What are you doing? I'm building a tower. But when are you going to finish it? And with shame, you shake your head and say, never, never, because I did not count how much it would cost to complete that tower. And so in like manner, there are those who think that without Christ, without God's grace, they can become Christians. Some say, well, I think that if I join the church, if I'm baptized, if I live a good life, I think that will build the tower. And I'm going to laugh at you and everyone else will. Because it's like trying to build a tower and you have not enough to build that tower. You're going to run the marathon and you haven't even the strength to walk 1 mile and you're going to run over 26 miles. That is the folly of it all. Or you say, I'm going to fight a battle. And here a vast army of 100,000 comes. And you have 5,000. You can't overcome. And so a person with intelligence says, then I'm not going to fight that war. And I'm not going to begin to build that tower. Unless the Lord Jesus helps me. And then with that little bit that you have, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the 5,000 can be fed, and then with that little strength that you have, when it's turned over to Christ, then you can accomplish the task. However long the journey, Christ promises that you will have strength to finish that journey. How tall the tower, unlike the Tower of Babel, God will empower you to complete that tower, whatever responsibility he places upon you, to live for Christ, to be like Christ. He promises you ample grace. And he says, my grace is sufficient. You say, that's impossible to believe. And that is why I told you that God's grace was sufficient for all who desired to become children of God. Because you need God's grace to become a child of God. And if there is ever a desire to become a child of God, God's grace is already at work. Do you realize that? There will never be any desire for you to pass from death unto life, to turn from your sin, to trust Christ as Savior. There will never be any desire in your heart to come to Christ except the Father that sent Christ draw you. And some men think, oh, I'll get saved whenever I choose. You will get saved when God wants you to get saved. His time, not yours.
And at the same time you'd say, well, I will get light whenever I desire that light.
The Lord Jesus said, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth.
And so the only light that you can receive is when God by His Spirit illumines you. The only desire that you will have to come to Christ is when the Spirit of God convicts you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is when you will desire to come to Christ. But you say, well, if He's convicting me, then it's so simple. I will come to Christ. Oh, no. That's when the battle begins. Because when the sower went forth to sow, and the seed fell by the wayside, it said the birds of the heaven came down and gobbled up those seeds. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus said it means this, that whenever the word of God is preached, and the Spirit is trying to get it into the heart of man, Satan comes and snatches away the word of God that has been sown in the heart. And so you thought it was easy to get saved? Satan will do everything in his power that you remain lost. And the first thing is to snatch out of your being the word of God so that you cannot understand. When light comes, Satan will take light away that darkness may remain in your heart. That is the first thing. You have satanic activity. You have also human opposition. You have those that are bringing you messages of salvation that teach you the way to hell. Just like dear old Robert Muir on an occasion went up to a man at a service station and he said, man, he said, tell me the way to heaven. And he said, well, you join the church and do the best you can and you're baptized and that will get you to heaven. And Robert Muir scared him out of his wits and said, man, you told me the way to hell. And the man was scared to death. He said, the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven. So, when you want to get to heaven, there is a desire to be saved. Satan will send abundance of messengers telling you the way to hell and not to heaven. You listen to the radio. You hear many of them that will tell you the truth. You listen at the same time, and they will tell you the way to hell. You have human opposition as well. Listen to this. Not only in the false message they give, but in the exertion on their part of withholding you from trusting Christ the Savior. That's illustrated in Acts when Paul and Barnabas are trying to win a Roman centurion to Christ. And it says that Elymas the sorcerer came and withstood them, trying to turn away that centurion from trusting Christ the Savior. And that's what men will do as well. And so you have satanic opposition. You have human opposition. And the Bible speaks about the deceitfulness of sin. And you have yourself to deal with as well. Like a man that will think of so many excuses. A man in whose ears Satan will say, that's right, you couldn't live with Christ. So do not trust in this Christ. You will bring dishonor to God. All of this is going on within you. All of these things within as well as things without are used of Satan and the world to keep you from trusting Christ as Savior. But I told you that God's grace is sufficient for any man that desires to become a child of God. And the rich man who could not escape his riches, with God's empowering, he can. And with the man that was demon-possessed, with Christ saying, come out of him, then that man is free to come to Christ. Whether it's satanic opposition, human opposition, or your own self and the deceitfulness of sin working, God's grace is sufficient to let you become a child of God. He sends a desire, and when He does send that desire, yield to it and trust Christ as Savior. Trust that His precious blood cleanses from sin. And when you do that, why, it is an easy thing to become a child of God. But when you do it, remember that Satan has tried to take away the word, that humans have tried to tell you the way to hell and to withstand you when you want to trust Christ as Savior. And your own heart inside will give you numberless reasons why you should not trust Christ or why you should not do it now. At a later time, you should trust Christ. But God's grace is sufficient to overcome all of these things. Is salvation possible? With men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Well now, after you become a child of God, can I assure you that God will give sufficient grace to enable you to live the Christian life? I say, without hesitation, He shall. If you ask me, well then, do you assure me that with that grace, I will live the Christian life? I'm not able to answer that question. Because the Bible says this. Paul said, His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not found vain. So often, the Spirit of God is working upon Christians to live the Christian life. But the Bible says this, that we are not to grieve the Spirit. We are not to quench the Spirit. Do you understand? God's grace and God's Spirit are working in you to enable you to live like Christ, to do the will of God. But you grieve the Spirit and you quench the Spirit. But I promise you this, that if you wanted to live the Christian life, is God's grace sufficient? I tell you yes. But it is the receiving of that grace and the using of that grace. And if you do, then sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under law, but under grace. God instills a new principle within you. Right now, without Christ, you have one principle within you, the law of sin and of death. That is all that you have in you. But once you trust Christ as Savior, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. There is instilled in you a new principle, and that is instilled there because God's grace is sufficient to let you be saved and to let you live for Christ once you are saved. And this is what God wants to know. You say, well, it's going to take a lot of grace in my case. How much grace does God have? I ask you this question, how much grace do you need? Because the Bible speaks about the exceeding riches of His grace. The exceeding riches. And there is no man on earth who is so poor that the exceeding riches of God's grace will not be sufficient. You say, but I do not know yet that I can succeed. It says in John chapter 1, it says, of His fullness we all receive, and grace after grace. That means one grace on top of another, on top of another. Why? Because you need them all. And when you struggle to do the will of God and to live the Christian life, yes, you will fail. We all have failed. But God says, when you do, I will give you more grace. That's what it says in the Epistle of James. What about all of these conflicts? He gives more grace. He gives more grace. He gives grace upon grace. And so you say, well, how much grace does God have? God has enough grace to empower any man to live to the honor of his Maker. God has that much grace for you. And also, He has His Spirit that will teach you how to make use of that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is the thing that is so glorious. You say, well, I may have how many more years to live? Can I endure to the end? Yes. Let me tell you something that I remember that happened over 25 years ago. I've been saved over 45 years now, but I remember being in the office of a man that I'm not sure was a Christian. I talked to him and witnessed to him every time I could. And when I was in his office talking to him, it dawned on me that I had had a spiritual birthday. And I said to this man, not even knowing that he's a Christian, he said, why, I've been saved 20 years. And he answered, yes, and you'll be saved 20 more. I never forgot that. It was spoken to me over 25 years ago, and the man was right. Why? There are those, and let me give you just the opposite. There was a dear old brother named Brother Redford, and he was an iron worker. He worked at a shipyard, and he was a tough individual, and he did everything that shipyard workers usually do. But he heard the gospel, and he trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, and he was talking to some of his buddies, and he started to smoke a cigarette, and then he said, no. He said, I'm through with cigarettes, and I'm through with drink. He said, I trusted Christ as Savior.
And his buddies laughed at him and said, it'll last 6 weeks. And when the man told me that illustration, he had been saved 60 years. And so who was right? And so I was saved over 45 years. And this man was saved over 60 years. And however long you're going to live, the Lord Jesus says, my grace is sufficient. That is a remarkable thing. How much grace has he got to give? Well, how much do you need? Well, he doesn't know how long I'm going to live. He's the one who determines how long you live. And his grace is sufficient. Think of this now. You say, there's so many sufferings to experience in life. That's what Paul was telling the Savior in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, Lord, take this thorn in my flesh away. And the Lord Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. The sufferings of life, the Savior says, my grace is sufficient for you. The temptations of life, he says this, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so you have the sufferings of life, you have the temptations of life, and what other conflicts and obstacles Satan would place in your path, God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient now, and throughout eternity we will be celebrating the riches, the exceeding riches of his grace. God's grace is sufficient that you might be saved and that you might live to the glory of God. By God's grace, do it. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the grace that sent thy Son. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. We are thankful that that grace is sufficient to save all men. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And we are thankful that a man having trusted Christ as Savior, that grace is sufficient to take him along to the end, however long he may live. We are thankful, Father, that the sufferings along the way, the temptations along the way, the demands of life along the way, they can all be met by God's sufficient grace. By thy Spirit, let us know this to be true, and let us, our Father, embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, the object of thy grace, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.